With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all the results from this past weekend with Swampy, and later on we'll have a full fixture preview with the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own Andrew Simpson. We'll also be hearing from Tommy Lawson at Marine, from Rob Smith at Ensford Town, Craig Hopkins at Matlock Town, and we'll be speaking to Switch Radio's Kev Moore about Sutton Coldfield. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. So, hello everybody, and welcome to the Butcher's Arms here, the home of Drosden. We're here on Tuesday night for Drosden against Ramsbottom United. I'm Ben, and joining me here on the other end of the phone, Swampy. Hello, Swampy.
Good evening, Ben. Good evening, listeners. When you say the other end of the phone, you mean actually the one that's next to me.
Recording.
We're both stood together watching this game here at Drosden. It's funny, you nearly forgot where we were when you actually introduced it. We're here at Drosden to watch Drosden.
No, it's because I've been reading results elsewhere, and I see.
So your prep's just been, what, 2 minutes before the end of the first half?
Standard. So it's 0-0 here. What have you made of the game here?
Well, I mean, the surface is tough tonight. It's a very sticky pitch, and two teams that like to play football. I've tried to play football, and it's currently 0-0. A really good opportunity in the early first five minutes for Rami to take the lead. Dean hitting the post from close range, but a bit of a competitive game. Both teams, as I say, got a lot to do in the second half. Fitness will play its big part. I know certainly the game that Rami were involved in on Saturday, the 3-2 defeat at home to South Shields, would have taken a fair bit out of them, and the pitch was a very, very heavy pitch as well, and as it is tonight, so it does take it out of you. But looking forward to the second half.
Well, we'll find out later the result of this game, but we're here to talk about the results from Saturday. Just to say, there is a match taking place also on Tuesday night as we record this. That's Nantwich against Stourbridge. It's currently Nantwich are 1-0 up. But back to the results. I'm going to do something a bit crazy now, Swampy. I'm going to start with the bottom end of the table, because Sutton Coldfield, blimey Charlie, 2-0 winners against Stalybridge Celtic. What a result that is.
It certainly is, but we did discuss it in the Northern Premier League show only last week. People said they were dead and buried. One result, and they're there or thereabouts with the other teams, and they played a team that they had to really beat in Stalybridge Celtic. And Singh again, scoring, he scored a fair few this season already for them, and 2-0, two goals in the second half, and a big result for Sutton Coldfield. Stay the bridge right down there in the mire now as well, but I say, the 16 points, and then everyone else is on, what, 20 points are they, 20, 21 points there or thereabouts, so all to play for. Too early in the season to see is going down. Sutton Coldfield with a good result, as you say, it's whether they can go on a bit of a run now, but everyone around them, they're only a few points away from them now, so that's very, very good for them.
Now, Nantwich Town, they're currently third bottom, and obviously, as I said, they are winning currently against Stourbridge, and that'll be a cracking result if it stays like that. But Nantwich at the weekend, they fall to third bottom in the table following a 3-1 defeat at home to Colville Town. A very important result that for Colville, because it was looking a bit precarious at one point, the run that they've been on in the league.
Yeah, they've not been the greatest of run. It puts them up to 15th spot now. In a game, Nantwich, taking an early lead as well. 13 minutes, Joel Stair scoring, capitulating before half time, make it 2-1. They go out second half, Colville make it 3-1 in a 52nd minute, and there was no answers really for Nantwich. And they're on a very, very poor run of form. The one thing that they've got in their advantage to a degree is they still haven't played quite as many games as everybody else, and the calibre of the quality there at a football club, and they'll be bitterly disappointed with getting beat at home, and they need a result tonight. And in fairness, they are playing a team in Stourbridge tonight who equally had a bit of a poor run, yeah, although they're a bit higher up at the table, so they'll be hoping to make amends for that result on Saturday, and we'll know in another, what, 45 minutes or 50 minutes time whether they've been able to achieve that, and if they do, that leaves a little bit of the pressure.
Now, we said the Sutton Coldfield against Stalybridge match was a very important one. We also highlighted last week Hales Owen against Whitby Town, because a win for Hales Owen could relieve a bit of pressure for Hales Owen, but also drag Whitby Town in. And, well, Hales Owen beat Whitby Town by 3-1.
And that result means that Hale's only now 1 point behind Whitby Town. So that's how important that victory was.
It was, yeah. And again, Whitby Town, you know, going 1-0 up in the early in the first half, and not being able to hang on to it. And you know, one apiece at half time. Second half comes, and it's you know, that Jake Kelly scores to make it 2-1, and then, like, you know, 9 minutes before the final whistle, John McAtee comes up and scores the goal that is decisive. And big result for Hales Owen. Whitby Town, as you say, in trouble. I mean, well, there and thereabouts, all these teams are beating each other with only one team going down. We suggested this may be the case all through the season, unless you're right at the top of the table. Though those are those sort of like mid-table, 15th and below, everyone can beat everybody, and you know, it's proven the case.
Now, I said last week Stafford Rangers were on the fringes, and well, Marine beat Stafford Rangers by 4-1 away from home, and you said last week that if following the FC United result, if they don't go to Stafford and put in a display, they're letting Tommy Lawson down. That's a hell of a display that they put on there.
It certainly is. You know, De Silva, when we played against FC, we pointed out he had a really good game, really, really top draw player in the midfield, scoring early for them, and then going on a bit of a route, really. You know, 16 minutes, 57 minutes, Mitchley, the captain, again scoring. You know, I think he's at about 8 or 9 for the season now. And then Liam Tong, 88 minutes. I mean, it was a consolation right at the end, Stafford Rangers with Alexander Fletcher scoring the 90th minute. But yeah, Tommy, he's taking his team there, and as I said, sometimes you need that one game in the season that can, you know, can spur you on. We saw it with Altrincham against Whitby a few months ago, and that spurred them on to, you know, where they are in the division now. And Marine, if they keep that impetus and the work rate going, they're going to cause you know, problems for any team to come across, because they've got a good squad, and Tommy's a wily old fox.
And just to say, Stafford Rangers, you are in 17th and you are 5 points ahead of Marine at the moment, but it was an important win, that, for Marine, because that win, because of the Sutton Coldfield victory, because of the Hales Owen victory, it's awfully tight down the bottom end, isn't it?
It is. And to go away and to score 4 goals and be convincing in a game is testament to the fact that they're firmly, you know, the feet are planted firmly. They know themselves that they've got a job to do to get out of the situation they're in. And, you know, the great run in the FA Trophy will be great for them financially, but the bread and butter staying in the division. And they've started off after that one win against FC now with a great win, as you say, against you know, a Stafford Rangers team that will, this season, will be hopefully looking to you know, progress further. But at this moment in time, not winning at home.
Now, Ashton United beat Rush Olympic by 2-1 at the weekend. It goes to show you what Liam McDonald's done at Rush Olympic, that defeats like that are quite rare nowadays. I think that's their second defeat in six.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, Ashton, Chaddy again, scoring two what he does, but penalties as well, two penalties in the game for Ashton, you know. And it went to the wire, really. You know, it was 1-1 until the 79th minute, and Chadwick again with a penalty. And Rush are a difficult team to go and beat, and you know, Ashton United needed that result, and Chaddy is the man who is their you know, their goal scorer, and he came up with the goods again.
Now then, let's go up to the top end, and some important results from the weekend. Altrincham have opened up a 3-point gap at the top of the MPL Premier Division with a game in hand over second place Grantham Town. A fine 2-1 away win at Michelover Sports. That could have been a tricky game there at John McGrath's Michelover Sports, but, well, Parkinson's sides took all the points.
Taking all the points, it still was a tricky game, you know. It was a competitive game, good football from both teams, but I think what Altrincham have is they've got not only a great starting 11, but they've got a really good bench as well. And also, when you've got the likes of Hume, you know, Jordan Hume can come up and score your goals, which he's been doing all season. There's a little bit, they've got a little bit of, well, they've got a top draw squad, and to get that result against Michelover is testament to them, and that's why they are top at this moment in time, Ben, in fairness.
Andrew said Grantham in second. This is a great result, this, although a bit hairy towards the end of the game at Winsham Park. Witten Albion 2, Grantham Town 3. Grantham Town home and hose with 5 minutes to go, and then Witten get 2 goals back.
Yeah, and they managed to contain Shaw through the game. You know, that was the one thing that they were looking to contain, the top goal scorer. And Hebenstall comes up and scores two. and then Galanski right, you know, in the 75th minute, and then, you know, you think you're home and dry, and lo and behold, 85th minute and 90th minute, Robert Hopley makes it a really interesting end to the game. But Grantham doing really, really well, and you know, scoring goals and playing some good expansive football. And you know, Whittle will be disappointed because they again are a footballing team, but it's good that they've come right back into it, but just not quite enough for them.
Now Charlene moved into the third position. Let's just call it what it is. It's the result of the weekend, beating Warrington Town by 5-0.
Listen, change of manager. You know, we discussed whether or not there'll be a change in style, change in tactic. We know Paul Quinn, the new manager's come in, and he likes to play football in a certain manner. Well, I think he's just let the players go out and play the normal game. And to beat Warrington, who we know are going to be contenders, who are right up there this season, we've seen them in a few occasions, and they are a good outfit. We know they've got injuries. A few of them players are coming back now, though, for Warrington. Carden's going to be really disappointed with that. I mean, Shawlane, when you're playing against the team, one of the two or three teams that you think you're going to compete against for the division title, and to be absolutely battered in the manner, you know, I mean, early doors, you know, it's they get in front, the noses in front, and they've scored, you know, 4 goals in 47 minutes, and you know, then they get one at the end with a penalty. Great result for Shawlane, great result for the manager, and you know, Warrington Town will they'll dust themselves down and they'll come back better and stronger you'd expect. But you know, that's a marker for sort of like for the rest of the season now, from a Shawlane perspective, you would expect, because people were thinking, are they going to change tact? Are they going to be a different kind of team under Quinny? Well, 5-0, well, they might be. They could even be better. But saying that, you know, Boston got results, so the Shawlane you know, factor that week last weekend was superb. Ex-managers and new managers winning games of football.
Absolutely. Now Warrington Town, they're 4 points now behind Altrincham in fourth position, 2 points ahead of Ashton United, who filled that final playoff spot. Then there's Workington, another flag to say that Workington mean business this season, beating Stourbridge by 2-1. Admittedly, it was at home. But
and
still,
it was at home, but it was a very tight game of football. I mean, Workington again, you know, taking a lead, going into half time 1-0 up, and Stourbridge working and working and getting what they would have thought would have been perhaps the equaliser, and going back to the Midlands with the points. And well, up came you know, Philip McCluckey in the 90th minute to win the game. And you know, I've been saying it all along, Workington are one of those teams. If they get into the stride, keep working and working and working, they'll be right up there this season. They're methodical in everything they do. They're a club that we know very, very well, and you know,
one defeat in 10.
Exactly. They just, and they've been under the radar because there's, you know, the quality of a few of the teams have been highlighted throughout this season already. But Workington will be there. There's no question about it. You know, I say, you know, good form at this moment in time, and a hard team to beat. Even when you think that you've got a draw out of it, they go on and win a game.
Now Farnsley came in for a bit of not criticism in the right word, but Berkey was basically saying that they need to kickstart the season a bit because they have hit a bit of a sticky patch. And well, the weekend's result didn't go their way either. Hensford Town 2, Farnsley Celtic 1. It's the wrong time of the season now. When we're talking about the likes of Workington and Grantham and Charlane kicking into gear, you need to be kicking into gear, don't you, if you're Farnsley?
Well, yeah, you do. I mean, you know, but they are playing. I mean, you know, they're in the seventh spot at this moment in time. Hensford in ninth spot.
They've moved up a bit, haven't they Hensford?
You know, one or two results can do that massively in this division for you. But the thing is, you know, they've got Nathan Cartman there. He scored the equaliser. You know, Daniel Glover scoring an early goal. A lot of early goals on Saturday. But you know, Ben Bailing going on the 80th minute and you know, and getting the winner. But you know, with Nathan Cartman there, you've always got a chance, and they've got a good team at Farsley, and you know, they'll be disappointed with that result. But the same token, Hensford have you know, got a point to prove. They're going to want to be there in that top seven this season. They've had trials and tribulations over the last few seasons, so you know, good result for them, but all to play for still.
Now lastly, because the team's about to come out, one team who've been quietly getting on with things and massively, you talked about Workington flying under the radar, Matlock have been flying under the radar. It's like the season hasn't got started, but one result, a win against Lancaster City, and they're up to 12th in the league all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I know that's the close nature of mid-table, but
they've leapfrogged Lancaster, haven't they? You know, and Lancaster had a very good start to the season, didn't they? You know, and again, coasting it really, you know, Jake Green and Ricardo German scoring to make it 2-0, and then everyone Kilfin comes in at the 81st minute to make it a tight finish. But again, going away to the Giant Axe is a tough place to go to, and you know, it's a good result for Matlock. But as you say, slowly but surely they're making the way.
Because everyone's been looking. I look at Matlock every weekend and go, have they started the season yet? Have they started the season yet? But they're the hardest.
They are indeed, yeah. And then, you know, last not but least, you've got BBs, haven't you? Buxton Barwell. And again, you know, two teams very evenly matched at this moment in time. No surprise for me that there was a draw there. Barwell, you know, going a goal down, Luke Hinsley scoring on the 33rd minute, but before the... you know, before the half time, that was all the goals of the game, and it finished one apiece. But you know, good weekend again of Northern Premier football. Lots of goals, lots of quality, and lots of teams competing against each other, which we want to see week in, week out, Ben. So we look forward to this Saturday's fixtures yet again.
And it finished on Tuesday night, Drolsden 1, Ramsbottom United 0. And a big thank you to the hospitality shown by Drolsden at the Butcher's Arms on Tuesday evening. Lovely pie and cracking jukebox, as always. But it's now time to look at the NPL Premier Division. Tuesday night's game, Nantwich Town 2, Stourbridge 0. A fantastic result that for Nantwich. Sees them now 6 points above the relegation zone with loads of games in hand. Bit of a disappointing outcome for Stourbridge. Sees them in 11th position, now 7 points from the playoff positions, but they do have one game in hand over Ashton United. But to discuss now the future of the NPL Premier Division, the immediate future, and all this weekend's postponements, we're now joined from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian by the welcome return of non-league journalistic legend. It's Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right. I've had an upgrade for my introductions. I like it. It's good.
Absolutely. So I am joking, of course. There's going to be a... I believe Donald Trump when he says global warming's a hoax. There'll be some kind of weird summer about to arrive in December, and everything will be fine for this weekend's matches. Isn't that right, Simo?
Well, I wish I could believe you, but it's snowing outside the window here in Norfolk, so I don't know who to believe.
It's sunny here. It's sunny.
Is it?
In Mancunia, it's sunny. Delightful. Right. Anyway, so coming up over the course of the rest of the show, we're going to be also hearing from Tommy Lawson at Marine, Kev Moore at Switch Radio about Sutton Coldfield's renaissance, Rob Smith at Hensford Town, and we've got Craig Hopkins coming on from Matlock. But we should start with Sutton Coldfield. Well... Is it back on, Simo?
It may well be. We have to believe, don't we? They've had a good 7 to 10 days, picking up wins against Farsley and Stalybridge, and particularly that win against Stalybridge was a huge one, wasn't it? Closes the gap and actually gives them an incentive that, depending on results this weekend, if they can make that winning run 3 matches, they can actually climb off the bottom of the table, can't they? So adds a little bit more to what is an already big game against Marine tomorrow anyway, doesn't it? So Sutton Coldfield, it's all going to be... I mean, we've touched on this previously, but it is going to come down to the home form, isn't it? And that's where they're picking up what points they have got so far. 12 of their 19 points they've picked up at home. So they'll be feeling good about that going into this game. They're up against a kind of an improving Marine, aren't they? So it's not the gimme it might have been a few weeks ago.
Sutton Coldfield Town against Marine. Marine had a cracking result last weekend as well against Stafford Rangers. Let's hear now from the manager at Marine. Please welcome back to the show. It's Tommy Lawson. So welcome back to the show, Tommy. We'll get to the league in a second or two, but we should really talk about the FA Trophy. A cracking result that a couple of weeks ago against FC United. I was there and it was thoroughly deserved.
Well, yeah, we worked hard. I think the players, 1 to 11, you know, done what was asked of them, and, you know, they deserved a win on the day. I thought they worked very, very hard for it. And yeah, we were really pleased to obviously go through.
Now, you're through to the first round, and in the last round, we brought you on a fortnight earlier to help you and get the jinx out your system. We've done the same this time round. Obviously, in a week's time, you're going to be travelling up to Victory Park to take on Chorley. It's a bit of a different kettle of fish, this one. It's away from home. What are you expecting from Chorley?
Chorley are a big, strong side. It'll be different to the FC United game, I feel. You know, we've had them watch, I'm sure, and they've been at our game, so both sides will have done their homework. I'm familiar with a lot of their players anyway. And yet they're a competent side. I think it'll be a different type of game to the FC game, in as much as their style is different. But nevertheless, it's a big challenge again.
I mean, to state the bleeding obvious, I mean, you did do your homework going into that FC United match. I saw you at Broaders Park in the previous game. How important is it to scout out your teams, your opposition, especially in the higher league, to find out where their weaknesses are?
Well, I don't just think it's the higher leagues. I think, you know, we played Colliery's not so long back in the Cup. And to be fair, we treated Colliery's the same as we treated FC and the same as we're treating Chorley. You've got to treat all the teams, I feel, with respect, and you've got to do as much homework as you can and analyse what you're going to be up against so that you can give as much information to your players as physically possible.
Now, what Swampy said last week following watching Marine beat his beloved FC United was that team there that Tommy Lawson's got is a quality team, and they should be going into the next game and putting in a hell of a performance. To beat Stafford Rangers the way you did by 4-1, that's a cracking result there. Were you pleased with, firstly, the momentum that you've taken out of that FA Trophy win?
Yeah, we in all competitions, we're on a bit of a roll at the minute. And to be fair, we took that into the next game. And, you know, you're right what you're saying. Going down there is always difficult. Very partisan crowd, and you know, do you really give you loads? And I just felt again it was a good performance, and you know, we scored goals consistently through the 90 minutes. You know, we were annoyed, believe it or not, we were annoyed at the end because they'd scored in the 94th minute. You know, we were eager to take that clean sheet, which is that's a great sign. You know, but yeah, it was a really, really good performance, you know, and we brought off the win.
And you took that into the Liverpool Senior Cup as well. I mean, you won last night as well against Tranmere Rovers, which...
Yeah, again, you know, Tranmere, I felt treated it with respect, and, you know, it was a good contest. And it's not being unkind, but I think 1-0 flattered them. I think, you know, another day, the keeper on the days had an inspired game. You know, he's kept us at bay. A really you know, good performance, I felt, you know.
Now, the games are coming thick and fast now for Marine. This weekend, we touched upon it in the last interview we did with you, Tommy, and you said relegation zone isn't even on your agenda. It's not even on your radar. So apologies for doing the talk sport thing. But this weekend, you're playing Sutton Coldfield Town, and all of a sudden, Sutton Coldfield Town have got a run together. They're beating Farsley, they're beating Stalybridge. It's important to do your homework for this game, I'd imagine, going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what you've got to understand is if you look at their fixtures from last year, their home form was exceptional. And part of that is down to the surface they play on. It's a plastic, but it's an old-fashioned, hard plastic. It's not like 3G, 4G, whatever. It's the old-fashioned type. And it's an uncomfortable surface, really. And I think that they do have an advantage in the home games. Their away form is nowhere near as good as their home form. So you've got to change the players' mindset as soon as you get there. And yeah, we've got to play the pitch. You know, we do train on an Astro. So you know, we've got that into the players' heads, and we were going there to do what we've been doing and see if we can carry on, you know, the good work that's getting done at the minute.
And finally, Tommy, obviously then the following week, it's that FA Trophy match against Chorley. What would, because it's been done before many a time from this tier and the tier below, actually, what would a good run mean for a club like Marine? You know, you've come in, you've steadied the ship. What would it mean for the club?
Well, the obvious thing, isn't it, is the financial side, you know. But I think it's more than that. What it's done, it's galvanised a lot of the spectators. You know, the support that we've been getting home and away, even in that side at Prenton last night, you know, we had fantastic support there. And I think that it gives the spectators in particular and the players, you know, that drive. And, you know, they're looking forward to the next game and the next game. And, you know, yeah, we're going to go up to Chorley, and we're going to enjoy our day, and we're going to give it a real good go. And I'll say what I said against the FC. I think they'll go in, obviously, as favourites, and so they should. But I think we've got a punch's chance.
And a big thank you to Marine boss Tommy Lawson for joining us this week. So that's the view from Marine. But what about the hosts this weekend, Sutton Coldfield Town? Well, joining us now from Switch Sport, we're now joined by the welcome return. It's Kev Moore. So welcome back to the show, Kev. There's been a bit of a renaissance at Sutton Coldfield Town the last couple of games. Has this been coming of late?
I think it has to be fair, though, yeah, because, I mean, they're still in that awkward situation where the management team are still trying to bring in players pretty much on a weekly basis. And it's very much a reflection of what happened last season as well, because when they took over in a similar sort of situation, you know, when, after the sad departure of Neil Tooth, they're in a situation where they didn't have a proper full pre-season, and they've had to sort of, like, get players on the hoof, as it were, you know, throughout all last season, and they didn't have to sort of stay up. So in some respects, it's a very, very similar situation. They've got to bring new players in all the time. But yeah, certainly in recent weeks, performances have improved. And they're starting to give themselves an opportunity to maybe climb themselves out of it as well. It's going to be very, very tough, as you know. That bottom end of the table, there's five, six teams there all probably panicking, thinking, here we are coming up before the Christmas break. But already these matches that have come up, already when you think about it, are big sort of psychological tests, aren't they, for the players? And also, we're talking in some cases, could we even start calling these games like six-pointers now, can't we? But yeah, recent weeks has been a renaissance. They've been playing some much more attractive, more attacking-minded football. But it is going to be a real struggle for them because they haven't got the sort of size of squad compared to other teams fighting in around them in the bottom end of that table.
Oh, we've used six-pointer now, the term six-pointer, about, I'd say, at least 78 times on this show already. And that's just in the last month. Sutton Coldfield, Swampy rightly said last week that no team in this division can be described as dead and buried. But that said, 7 points behind, I think, a fortnight ago, then a great result against Fazer Celtic and against another great result against Stalybridge Celtic in a quotation, six-pointer.
Yeah.
I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Because if you go that far out of the relegation picture with regards to, you know, a lot of people are dismissing you, when you start to bounce back, the effect can be tenfold, really, can't it?
Absolutely, it can be, because then the other teams around them start panicking themselves, don't they? Because, I mean, you know, at the start of the season, what the club wants to do is sort of trying to stab themselves and not put themselves in a situation, obviously. But I think more than ever now, and as we're going in towards this particular, well, now the winter period, aren't we? I think more than ever now, the performance at home is going to count even more for Sutton, you know, because they're going to have to sort of like they did to a certain point last season. There were certain home matches, they turned it on, they beat Blythe last season, and Stourbridge was fantastic results at Coles Lane. So having the advantage of the 3G pitch, I know we know this weekend's going to have some very adverse weather conditions, which might affect a lot of fixtures. But having the facility of a 3G where you know the game's going to go ahead, yes, I know it puts more pressure on their home performances, but I think that could be a key factor, because with some teams that have come down and play them, you know, post-Christmas, second half of the season, that could be a big factor in giving them, you know, a lifeline to stay up in this league.
Well, we just spoke to Tommy Lawson, and he says that the pitch is definitely a factor at Sutton Coldfield, as is the goal scoring of Gurit Singh, I think, as well. He's been turning it on of late, hasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. The fans call him a bit of an enigma, they do. And I was speaking to some recent Sutton Coldfield fans recently, and I'm sure you guys know for your social media connections, I think you're aware of the Sutton Ultras, aren't you? And all these sort of the fans there are very, very popular on social media as well. And he is an enigma because, like, some days he's one of those players, but he's almost unplayable because you don't really know what he's going to do next, to be honest. But considering where the position where the club has been pretty much since the start of the season, his performance have held up very, very well. And he has scored some critical goals at some critical points in certain games as well. But I think players like him, you've got to try and retain them and try and get the best out of them as well. You know, and he has become a fan favourite as well, I think, because he's quite a character. But he's not a straightforward sort of like typical sort of striker either. He can either play as attacking midfielder or can play up front if needed. But at this stage, I think you need your players like that who are going to try and bring something a little bit different to the game, and try and unlock defences and try and get some results out of it as well.
Now, obviously, towards at the end of last season, we did speak to Richard Snakers, and you've already touched upon it, the idea that the club don't want to be in the same position it was in last season. Obviously, the start's not been the best, but there is light now. What's the mood like amongst the management staff and amongst the club now going forward? It is a tough call, this one, because the clubs above them, there are some experienced managers there and experienced clubs in this environment. But then again, Richard Snakers has got all the pedigree you need.
That's right, it is. It is a difficult time for them. You could actually argue, Benny, like compared to last season, it's probably a little bit more difficult because there is a bit of a heightened sense of pressure there because, as we know, with the forthcoming season, looking ahead of the next couple of 3 years, the non-league pyramid is going to go through a hell of a lot of restructures, isn't it, in terms of like setting up new divisions and the amount of teams are going to get relegated from certain divisions this season. So there is more pressure on that respect. They're still doing their best to sort of like utilise their contacts and get different players in and get people on loan deals, etc., as and when they can. And also maybe look to sort of players in the academy setup, see if any young players can at least make the squad or make the bench and get a feel for how the first team operates and things like that. So it's not going to be easy. But I just think, as you said to start this conversation, the renaissance has happened probably just about the right time. I think going into sort of like the Christmas, like Boxing Day fixtures, if there were sort of a good sort of 10, 12 points, just you think it's curtains over, don't you really? But the gap as it is now is not insurmountable. It can still be done. But I think it's going to heavily rely on, certainly going into the new year, Sutton's home form is going to be absolutely crucial in this if they're going to stay up in this league.
So Kev Moore there from Switch Radio. For more information about Switch Radio, head over to their Twitter feed at Switch Sport. But Sutton Coldfield against Marine this weekend, that's a proper boom banger bang fixture, and it could see Sutton Coldfield out of the relegation zone. It could see Marine straight into the relegation battle. It's awfully tight down there and awfully tense, and it's cracking stuff. For Stalybridge Celtic, Simo, it's a trip to Warrington Town this weekend. This is proper cage, isn't it? I mean, Warrington Town are in fourth position at the moment. They need to keep winning to keep the pressure on the likes of Grantham, Shaw Lane and Alty, don't they?
Yeah, and this is a big game for both clubs, albeit for directly contrasting reasons. I mean, Warrington, of course, had that horrendous result at Shaw Lane last weekend when they got a right hammering. 5-0 in Paul Quinn's first game in charge at Shaw Lane. So they're hurting and they're desperate, obviously, to bounce back at the first attempt. I guess if you'd phoned Paul Carn up this week and said, right, Paul, who would you rather play in order to get your promotion bid back on track? He'd looked at it and gone, Stalybridge at home would be quite nice. Stalybridge, by some distance, the worst travellers in the Premier Division. They lost 9 of the 10 away games, including, of course, that 2-0 defeat away to Sutton Coldfield last weekend. So they're in terrible form away from home and have been all season. Warrington probably just need to be a little bit careful not to be complacent, but the fact they're coming off that heavy defeat last weekend, I'm sure, will mean that that's not going to happen. That said, they're still struggling with this injury list, particularly in defence that we've touched on a number of times in recent weeks. It's still not fully cleared, so there's a bit of a reshuffle job that Paul's going to have to do this weekend in order to kind of patch that back four up, which might give Stalybridge a glimmer of hope, but anything other than a Yellows win will be a huge surprise to me this weekend.
I mean, we were discussing this last week, and obviously you had work commitments, so you couldn't come down to the MPL show recording last week. But it does feel like now that we've got four sides up at the top who are all, I don't want to say nailed on, but they're looking pretty strong, aren't they?
It's starting to feel that way, which is obviously not great for this kind of massive blob of teams underneath. If they are all going to be battling for just that one remaining playoffs place, it's probably too early still to say it's nailed on. I mean, we'll come on to them shortly, but I have seen Grantham up close last week, and I absolutely would include them in that kind of list at the top after seeing them firsthand, seeing how good they are and how well they're playing. So they're definitely in that mix. I guess we weren't really sure. Maybe it's still too early to tell how Shaw Lane were going to react to losing their manager, but the early signs are fantastic, aren't they? They win 5-0 in the first game. So, yeah, I think there's something in that. Warrington arguably have been a touch more inconsistent than those other three, but even that feels a bit unfair, really, because they're only 4 points off top spot, aren't they, and right in the thick of things. But those injury problems and availability problems have made them feel maybe more vulnerable than the others. But, yeah, it's a bit of a concern if you're in that chasing pack and everyone's going to be scrapping for one place, particularly, and again, we'll come on to a minute, when it looks like Workington are the absolute form team of that pack as well. So I think it's too early to tell, but I can see why you're saying that, definitely.
Now then, let's talk about Shaw Lane. Shaw Lane this weekend are travelling to Moss Lane to take on Altrincham in what many people are describing as massive. It's a big game, this one. It's a must-not-get-beat, I feel, for Altrincham.
Yes, I think so. And of course, their formidable record at Moss Lane will make them probably slight favourites. They've still not lost in the league there since that opening day defeat against Stafford. And in fact, all around, unbeaten in the past 13 Northern Premier League games, which is a run that started in the middle of September. So in fantastic form And only Grantham have picked up more points in the past eight games. So they go into it as slight favourites. Obviously, Shore Lane go there boosted by that fantastic result last weekend. They're on not a little bad run themselves, unbeaten in the past five. The only kind of... it's not a question mark, that's to put it too strong. Altrincham haven't actually played that many teams around them in the league yet this season, which is quite interesting when they had a look this morning. They played Grantham at home and kind of squeezed past the 1-0. And then the only other match they've had, home or away, against a team in the top five was that 0-0 draw against Warrington in those monsoon conditions a little while ago. So we may find out a little bit more about Altrincham. I mean, if they, you know, if they do the business, it'll just reinforce everyone's belief that they probably are now emerging as favourites for promotion. But there is that little gap that we don't have enough real information on them playing against their direct rivals. So that'll be quite interesting to see how that goes tomorrow. It's probably their biggest game of the season, I would argue.
And we mentioned Grantham as well. Grantham are travelling to Barwell this weekend. And Barwell have pretty much found themselves in no man's land now, haven't they? Unfortunately for them. But Grantham Town, they know that at least one of the teams around them is going to drop points this weekend. And that's a big motivation going into that game at Barwell, isn't it?
Without any question, like you say, the Barwell are struggling. They've not won any of the past seven games. They've slipped down the table. They did have a good draw at Buxton last weekend, so they'll take a little bit from that. Grantham are banging form. They've won five games in a row. And as I touched on, I saw them firsthand last week. They came down to Northwich. They beat Witton 3-2. It was a fantastic game, actually. But every bit, you could see why Grantham are very, very serious contenders to get promoted this season. They actually were second best for quite large portions of that game. Witton played really, really well. But what was so impressive about Grantham is their composure under that pressure. They didn't look rattled at any point, even though Witton were creating chances. And then when they did have an opportunity to attack, they were absolutely ruthless in converting the chances they created. What would be even more reassuring for Adam Stevens is actually Lee Shaw had quite a quiet game. He was shackled pretty well by Witten's back four. Problem with that is they had Jordan Hempenstall alongside Lee Shaw, who's in fantastic form himself, scored two of their three goals, looked really, really dangerous. And so even if Shaw doesn't get you, somebody else will. And that must be a great feeling for Grantham going into their games at the moment. I'd be really surprised if they don't continue this run tomorrow. And it's, yeah, you're right. It's possible they, if Altrincham do lose, they'll be level on points with Altrincham at the top of the table by Sunday morning, which would be a remarkable achievement. But they're absolutely the real deal. They've built on last season. Arguably, they're even more formidable. And I was really impressed with Grantham last week.
Now, let's talk about, did you describe them as the blob or was that just in my mind?
Who's this?
The mid-table pack.
Well, the blob.
Yeah,
the blob,
okay.
Yeah.
So, at the moment, Ashton United are in fifth. Ashton United, with Jody Bannums, they've gone on a good run. I think they're unbeaten in about six or seven games now, all of a sudden. And they're in fifth position. They'll be travelling to your very own beloved Witton Albion this weekend. Witton Albion now, do you worry about the blob and the way it's stretching out a bit now? Because Witton Albion are now 4 points behind seventh-placed Farsley Celtic.
Yeah, it's a little gap, but I don't think it's insurmountable. I think other than Altrincham be Shore Lane, this is one of the games of the weekend tomorrow. Big incentive for Witton to win is to close that gap up to Ashton in fifth place. I mean, no one at Albion is coming out on the record saying that that it's playoffs or we've failed in some way. It's absolutely not that. They're not under pressure to finish in the top five, but obviously they've completed half of their games, 23 games now, and they've got themselves in a fantastic position for a newly promoted team to be eighth in the league. And if you remember going way back before the start of the season, you did an interview with Carl when he said he thinks Witton can finish in the top eight. So they're actually perfectly on course for what he predicted before the start of the season. This is a real test of their credentials in the same way that the game against Grantham was last weekend. Witton actually acquitted themselves really, really well against one of the best teams in the Premier Division, but didn't have anything to show for it at the end. And they were really, really disappointed at full time not to. So this is a massive test again. They'll hopefully, they want to put that right. But they came up against, we had this stat a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? That Ashton were one of the best travellers in the Premier Division. Well, actually, Grantham's 3 points last week make them the best away team in the division at the moment, but Ashton are right behind them. So Witton are right up against it this weekend. Ashton, as you touched on, great form, unbeaten in the past six league games. They've actually won four of the past six away from Hurst Cross as well, so they're in really good form. Jody Bannum's done a tremendous, tremendous job. And sometimes I think we take a little bit for granted just how well Ashton do, because they seem to finish in that kind of upper reaches every season, and we should never take that for granted because it's a tremendous achievement what they do. I think it's going to be a really good game. It's too close to call. Ashton may be slight favourites because of their record, but yeah, to bring the question full circle, you suspect Witton, you know, if they are to just to keep in touch, they'll need to at least take something from the game.
And this is the thing, I mean, Ashton United, if they do beat Witton Albion, that's probably another team that's just dissolves into the blob, hashtag MPL blob, and isn't a concern anymore for the immediate future of Ashton United. It's one less team to worry about. And that goes to Workington as well. Workington this weekend are hosting Micklover Sports. And Micklover Sports are another one of those teams who Workington could deliver a bit of a blow on this weekend.
Yeah, I think I wonder if Micklover are in a kind of similar position to Witton. They're not necessarily under pressure to finish in the playoffs, but obviously they've got themselves in a really good position. They would quite like to kick on. We've touched previously this season on how well they've done. They've just dipped slightly, haven't they, in the past fortnight. They lost three games in a row now, Micklover. What you have to insert is the caveat that two of them was Altrincham and Warrington, and the other defeat was against Rushall, who are obviously resurgent. So it's not, yes, they have lost three games, but it's not like they've lost. You know, they've lost unexpectedly against teams that aren't doing very well. They'll want to try and get back on track, but the worst possible place to try and do that is Workington. Again, we've touched on how formidable they are at home. They have the best home record in the Premier Division this season, won 8 of the 12 games on home turf. They're actually unbeaten in the past 5 as well, so they're going really well in the past few weeks. They left it late last weekend, didn't they, to see off Stourbridge, but they still did get the job done, didn't they? So there's a real sense... John Walsh touched on it in that really good interview you guys did a couple of weeks ago. The real sense that Workington are in the groove at the moment, and the results suggest that, the form suggests that. I'll be surprised if they don't carry on that run tomorrow. So they're going to probably keep neck and neck with Ashton. But you're right, if Workington and Ashton are to win this weekend, you might just start to see daylight emerging between them and everybody else. But let's see how it goes.
Now, Farnsley Celtic this weekend will be travelling to Stourbridge. Both teams you couldn't describe as in good form at the moment.
No.
Is this a must-win for Stourbridge? They do have loads of games in hand, but they don't want to go into Christmas with that daylight, do they, between themselves and the playoff positions?
No, I do you know what? I think it is a must win. I think there's just a sense that this pressure's starting to creep in on Stourbridge. Their margin for error continues to narrow, and they can't afford to drop too many more points, something that Gary Hackett has admitted himself in an interview with their local paper down there this week. He has been boosted by the fact they've been able to extend Luke Bembo's loan from Solihull, so hopefully he can kind of kickstart his own season and start getting among the goals for Stourbridge. I mean, Stourbridge just simply have to sort out their home form. I mean, it's absolutely wretched. I had a look this morning, and it's an astonishing statistic. My favourite stat of the week, only Sutton Coldfield and Marine have scored fewer points at home this season. That is not going to get them into the playoffs, and that's why I'm a little bit worried about them.
They have got Bembo on extended loan now, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. So Bembo hopefully can help them resurrect that, but their home form's poor. They've only won one of the past 5 at home. They need to sort that out. Farsley... there's just this sense that it's slipping slightly away after such a brilliant start, isn't there? They lost to Sutton Coldfield and Hensford in the last two games. Two not great results, frankly. Their away form's not too bad, though, so they can take a little bit of hope from that. But I think you're right. I think it's a must-win game for Stourbridge, I really do.
Now, Hensford Town. In a second, we'll hear from the manager, Rob Smith, at Hensford Town. This weekend, they'll be hosting Buxton, and Hensford Town have put themselves in a great position in recent weeks. Let's welcome to the show now Rob Smith, manager at Hensford Town. So, welcome to the show, manager at Hensford Town, Rob Smith, joins us now. Rob, just before we get to this weekend's matches, just a big congratulations for that win against Farsley Celtic. Hensford have got a bit of a run of form going all of a sudden.
We've had a good week, and I think that's 4 wins on the bounce we've had now. So we're starting to get a bit of consistency that we've been crying out for. But you know, we know there's still loads of room for improvement.
And obviously, we've been speaking about on this show now for a number of seasons, just the size of the club at Keys Park. But you talk about consistency there. That's one of the problems Hensford have had since relegation from the National League North. What's been the major challenges for you, Rob, coming into that job?
I think that, I was at the club for 4 years before, and we got promoted and we did really well and got in the playoffs in the Conference North. And since I left, there's been a real dramatic turnaround in terms of they've had so many managers over a short period of time. And results have been really indifferent. So for the last couple of years, the club's had a real tough time on and off the field. So coming in, there was a bit of a losing mentality, I think, and you know, the club just felt very down. So it's been a case of trying to shake it up, and obviously it's been difficult to attract players, but now we're doing that. We've seen a lot more positivity around the whole place.
So was that your intention as soon as you got in there to assess the squad you had, and did you have an idea about what quality was available to bring in?
Yeah, we did. It's been difficult, I won't lie, because you know, quality players are difficult to attract, obviously. But we've done it slowly but surely, and we've got a good couple of lads in on loan, and clubs have been really helpful to us. So it's probably not been as quick as we would have liked it to have happened, the turnaround. But just gradually, we've been getting there, and over the recent few weeks, we've really shown an upturn in form. So. Hopefully we can keep it going, but I still think we're a bit off where we want to be.
Now, this is the problem, isn't it, now? Even though we're coming up to, I don't even think we're halfway through it yet, it's December, but yet there's the league's starting to stretch out somewhat now. And we've been talking about the mid-table teams who, at the start of the season, would be saying they'll be challenging for the playoffs, the likes of Buxton, Whitby, Nantwich, Stafford Rangers and Hensford. You need to get these games and victories on the board as soon as possible, really, don't you?
Yeah, I think any manager will probably say, anybody in the league, it's so tight that if you can get a run of three or four victories, it's amazing how quickly you go up the league. And I think we won two on the bounce in the league, and we've gone up, I don't know, about six or seven places. So it really is anybody's in terms of getting into the playoffs. It's all about finding those victories on the trot. So, you know, we've got three more home games on Saturday before Christmas. And, you know, if we can get sort of six, seven, 9 points, you know, we'll be in and around the positions where we want to be.
Now, this weekend, you'll be hosting Buxton. Just to say about the expectations at Hensford, obviously, when you took over, you were mid-table-ish. Is it just to get some consistency, some good football being played, and maybe challenge for the playoffs, but definitely for next season to challenge for the playoffs? Is that where we are with Hensford?
I think that's about right. I think when we came in, it was about steadying the ship, and nobody was even talking about playoffs. Because we're on a little bit of a run now, people are starting to talk about it. But, you know, there's no pressure on us to achieve that. It is, for me, it's about next season. We really need to make a serious challenge, and we can go and get the players we want in pre-season. But, you know, you can't rule anything out in this league. So we've just got to keep going and see where it takes us.
So a big thank you there to Rob Smith, manager at Hensford Town. Simo, Hensford Town against Buxton this weekend. It's after that interview there with Rob, it feels like anything towards the playoffs this season for Hensford is a bonus. They're looking very much towards next year, but they are in a good spot at the moment.
Yeah, they've got themselves in a really good position. And it's we're talking about Workington being strong at home and Stourbridge not. Well, Hensford's resurgence, if that's the right word, under Rob Smith, is entirely built on making Keys Park a real fortress. They've won four of the past six games there. And I went a little bit further back and had a look at their home record since Rob Smith returned to the club. And they've won six of the nine home games. They've scored 19 points at home since he came back in, to reinforce just how much that is behind their climb up the table. They've played seven away games and only picked up 5 points. So that is completely built on making Keys Park a fortress. I went down there a couple of months ago and saw Witten lose there again. Hence, it just looked really, really solid. Very, very difficult to break down. Very, very difficult to beat there. Buxton, a little bit out of sorts, aren't they? They've slipped down the table to 14th. No win in the past five league games. They did have a massive win in the Derbyshire Senior Cup in midweek, though, when they scored 9 goals. So that'll give them a little bit of a confidence boost. But they must take that into their league form. Martin McIntosh has said to their local paper this week they're just missing too many chances, and that's costing them points directly at the moment. Why they've fallen away a little bit. They're not out of a race for the playoffs yet, but they do need to get back to winning ways pretty quickly.
Matlock Town currently sitting in 12th position, and everyone's been waiting to see when's Matlock Town season going to actually get going. And it does look like that they're starting to build a bit of momentum. It is win two, lose two, win two, lose two. And let's hear now from one of the joint managers. Let's welcome back to the show now, Craig Hopkins. So welcome back to the show, Craig. We'll get to this weekend's match against Rushall in a second or two, but just your general thoughts about the season thus far. It was a good result last weekend against Lancaster.
Yeah, we played well played well last Saturday, Ben, up there. We've probably picked our form up a little bit over the last three or four games. Before that, we've been pretty poor by our standards, I would say, Ben, over the season so far. So, you know, the last couple of weeks, Hales Owen at home and Lancaster away last Saturday, yeah, we're pleased with those performances.
Now, obviously, last season was a sensational year for Matlock Town, just narrowly missing out towards the end of the season on the playoff positions. But what was your expectations, yours and Glenn's expectations, coming into this season?
What we tend to do, Ben, what we've always done, I mean, this is the our 10th season now as joint managers. And every season so far, we've set ourselves a target to finish higher than we've done in the previous season. And so far, Ben, we've been lucky enough to do that. So, I mean, we came 9th last season, so we want to finish higher than 9th. Anything better than that, really, you know, is a bonus. But we want to finish higher than 9th. We want to keep improving. And like I say, we've been pretty poor, in all honesty, so far this season. We've left ourselves a little bit to do. I think we're 12th at the minute, Ben. But, you know, it's not impossible. And we'll be looking to try and get a run together.
And this is the thing, though. I mean, down towards the bottom end, because you've never really been relegation candidates, but you've been in a pack of teams who really, when you start the season, you were saying, oh, they probably will be challenging for the playoffs, the likes of Whitby, Stafford Rangers, Nantwich. It has been one of those kind of seasons, though, hasn't it, where nobody's been able to string a run together in that mid-table pack.
Yeah, it's been strange, really, Ben. Like you say, Whitby came to our place. I thought they played well. Nantwich was superb a couple of weeks ago, beat us 3-0. Stafford Rangers are a strong side. You know, there are some good sides in that, you know, 12th to 18th place, really. I mean, so I think all those clubs are capable of putting 5 or 6 wins together, Ben. And then obviously that can take you up 6, 7, 8 places. I think there's been quite a few teams that have moved up a few places or down a few places quite quickly so far. So I suppose you could say, really, that the league table's only just finding its feet, really.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced it has found its feet, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, this weekend, you touched upon that match against Rusha Olympic. They've been one of the sides of late who've strung the results together and got themselves away from the relegation zone. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, I think they'll be a good side. I think you can see since Liam came back, their fortunes have taken a quite sharp upturn. They've got good players in there. They've got a good, stronger 11 or 12, 13 players even now, I would say. So I think we'll be playing a different Rushall to the performances they showed at the start of the season. I mean, you know, we're expecting a real tough game on Saturday.
And you've got quite a tough December overall, really, aren't you? I was just looking through the fixtures there on the 30th of December. I think you're playing Warrington, aren't you? Then you've got the game. I think you've got a game against Altrincham, plus Buxton, plus Farsley. They're quite tough games in December.
It's relentless, isn't it, Ben? It's relentless. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we looked at the fixtures for the rest of this calendar year, and we knew we had to turn things around pretty quickly. Like I say, we've played well the last 3 or 4 games, but if we'd have been playing those sides 2 months ago, Ben, we were out of form, we were out of confidence, and we were struggling. But the way things are, the way we've played just lately, we're slowly getting back towards what we're capable of. And I think, you know, we're confident that we can give anybody a game, really, at the moment.
So, Craig Hopkins, their joint manager at Matlock Town. Simo's still with us. Simo, Matlock against Rusha Olympic this weekend. What do you think for Matlock at the moment?
They have had a good couple of weeks. I have seen them in the past couple of weeks as well. They came down to Winchin Park and actually took part in a fantastic game when they drew 3-3 with Witten down here, which was about the right result. I don't think either team did quite enough to win the game there. But I was quietly impressed with Matlock. I thought they attacked really well on the day. We weren't sure kind of maybe how it was going to work out with Sean Harrod. He'd got the CV, he'd got the record, kind of where he was at. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic on the day. He's still got loads to offer on and off the ball, really experienced in terms of how he kind of manages the game up there. And he's got quick players around him. I was really impressed with them going forward, and that would give me hope that they can continue to pick up points. And in fact, since that 3-3 draw at Witten, they've won the two league games since in pretty good form at home, won three of the past four. They have got a difficult test tomorrow. I mean, Rushall are doing better than their position in the table suggests, but they're on this kind of upward trajectory, aren't they, under Liam McDonald now. They have lost the past two games on the road at Workington and Ashton, but they're two of the toughest places to go in the Premier Division, so I wouldn't be too upset about that. I don't know, it's going to be a really difficult one to call, isn't it? They won four of the seven games since Liam come in, so they're going to be a test for Matlock. But obviously, one thing that we should make a shout out for Matlock is they had that brilliant win, didn't they, at Lancaster last week? Yes. First team to win away to Lancaster this season, so that probably will give them the edge. But I think, actually, you look at the table and go, maybe this won't be one of the games of the day, but I think it might be two of the form teams, if you like.
Now, there's just three more matches we need to talk about. Stafford Rangers against Lancaster City, the aforementioned Lancaster City. So, Lancaster City, they've got so many games in hand over everyone else around them, but they're not really doing it, are they? They're not rising or falling. They're just mid-table.
No.
And Stafford Rangers, it's not really happening, is it? This it's just pretty much the same as last season, in a way.
It is, and that defeat at home to Marine last week was a really bad one for them. They've lost the past three games at Marston Road, and you know, home form has been a theme of some of the games I've picked out today. And Stafford's record at home is absolutely miserable. They've lost six of the 11 games at Marston Road, and they've conceded an absolute shed load of goals there as well. They really have to get their act together in front of their own supporters. Lancaster is probably not a bad opponent if you're trying to do that. They're out of sorts, as you touched on, lost four of the past six. That defeat at home against Matlock last weekend as well. So two teams absolutely desperate for a change in fortune. I mean, Neil Kitchen described last weekend's performance as one of the worst he's ever been involved with as a manager, player or a coach. So have Stafford hit rock bottom. He'll hope that was the worst and it can't get any worse than that. Losing to Lancaster might make it so. But yeah, I'm a bit worried about Stafford, I'll be honest.
Well, when we spoke to Neil Kitchen, the main priority is to steady the ship with the club off the pitch more than on it. It's a case of just making sure it doesn't ever return to where it was. And, we'll wait and see. Two more matches, both of them down towards the bottom end. Halesow in town against Nantwich Town. A fantastic win that for Nantwich Town midweek. Yeah. Does relieve the pressure somewhat. 6 points now above the relegation zone. Halesow in just your 4 points. And then I'm going to throw this one in as well. Whitby Town against Colville Town. Whitby Town at the moment, 5 points clear of the relegation zone. They need to win against Colville, don't they?
They do, but Whitby are horribly, horribly out of form, aren't they? Is it something like 12 games without a win? Or it's certainly in double figures anyway. So, and of course, they lost 3-1 against Hales Owen last weekend as well, which is a huge win for Hales Owen, which brought to an end their own five-match sequence without a victory. So it's a massive game for Whitby. I mean, we were previously able to describe Colville as out of form, Colville, but they had that great win, didn't they, at Nantwich last weekend. So even they've kind of stopped what was a little bit of a slide for them down the table. So you would fear for Whitby with that. Hales Owen against Nantwich. Like I say, Hales Owen massively boosted by that win against Whitby last week. If they are going to avoid relegation, similar to what we touched on with Sutton Coldfield, it's going to be, again, based on points they pick up at home, something that assistant manager Matt Clark kind of touched on in interview their local paper this week, in saying that they're almost now targeting home games to pick up the points they need to survive, which is quite interesting. But it is backed up by the evidence. 16 of 23 points scored at home. They've brought in a new forward this week. Spencer Weir-Daly has come in, very experienced, good record, scoring record at Reds this season. That could be a really good signing for Hales Owen, actually. But they're up against a Nantwich team that is slowly making that climb that we expected up the table. You're right, fantastic win against Stourbridge. And they really needed that to show that they'd bounced back from a surprise defeat against Colville last weekend. But that was a blip, really, because they've won four of the past five. So it'll be a good game, that, this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of this weekend, this is where the disclaimer comes in. Please do look at the EvoStick League website or EvoStick League on Twitter or EvoStick League on Facebook. There are pitch inspections planned at many matches on Saturday afternoon. So please do check Twitter on Saturday morning or Facebook and just make sure that your match is on before setting off. But Andrew Simpson, a big thank you for joining us. Just a quick plug for your work and how people can keep abreast of everything that's going on in the sporting world that is Cheshire.
Yes, northwichguardian.co.uk, on social media at @Simo_on_sports. Witten, I think, will probably be one of those games that has a pitch inspection tomorrow before Ashton head over. I suppose the good thing is Ashton aren't travelling fast. They can maybe make a decision a little bit later on. But fingers crossed we do get some of those games that we've previewed on this weekend, because there's actually some really good ones on the fixture list. So fingers crossed.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian for joining me on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Also, a big thank you to Tommy Lawson at Marine, Rob Smith at Hensford Town, Craig Hopkins at Matlock Town, and Kev Moore from Switch Radio for joining us. Also, a big thank you to Drolsden Football Club for hosting us on Tuesday night, and a big thank you to Swampy for joining us on this week's show. But that's it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. Remember, you can keep abreast of all the latest news from the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. A big thank you for joining me, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you wear a big coat. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.